course again. We will remember. We will remember. We will remember the works of your hands. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm so thankful that he's faithful this morning. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Even when I'm not faithful, he is. Yes. He's always faithful. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, musicians. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be in service with you again this morning. Amen. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. And we're certainly thankful for our Heavenly Father. Amen. 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 So thankful for what God has done for us. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. As was mentioned, we just want to remember to pray for our pastor and just thanking God for bringing him through that surgery successfully. But just want to continue to pray for his full and complete recovery. Amen. I know that he has good vision in the eye that was operated on, but there's an air bubble that's in his eye, which is really weird, right? It's really strange. And so gradually I understand that will diminish and diminish as the eye sort of regenerates itself and replenishes itself. And we are wonderfully made, amen? But during that process, it's very sensitive to any change in pressure, as you would imagine. So he has to be very, very careful. He can't change elevations because the pressure changes, and can't do anything strenuous or strain at all because the pressure in your eye is affected by those things. So, you know, there's a lot of injuries and things that you can kind of push through. And in fact, a lot of times, athletes heal very quickly because their pain tolerance, they're actually able to push through pain and exercise whatever, the thing was and recover very quickly. But this is not that kind of a thing, right? You do not want to try and push through this. You just have to let it heal. Let the great healer do what he said he would do. And so, amen. We just want to, I know that he covets your prayers, and it's difficult for someone who's always running 100 miles an hour to just stop and, amen, just stop and rest and let things progress. So he would love to be here, this is God's will for us today. Amen. Amen. So grateful for what God has done for us. Amen. Just so thankful for, the praise reports that went forth. And I'm just privileged. We all are privileged to have what we have and, to just be part of what God is doing. And, we should never take that for granted, brother, sister, amen. We should always just respect what God has done for us and really just desire to allow God to use us in any way, amen, amen. Well, you stand this morning. I'd like to read the scripture of Hebrews chapter 13. Speak to you this morning on the subject of promises. Amen. Because he promised is our title, but this is a two-parter. I'll give you at least two parts. I'll give you the first part here this morning. And I warn you ahead of time this morning, this is going to be fairly scripture and quote heavy, because we need to, before we believe anything, we have to know where it came from, right? We have to know, we have to have confidence that it's God's word. And then once we have confidence in something that it's God's word, then we can step out on it. But the real believer is not interested in just stepping out on a feeling or, well, that sounds good and I'm going to run with it. The true believer is founded in God's word. And that's the characteristic of the Eve of this day, right, is that she won't leave the word. And that was the problem with the Pentecostal, and continues to be the problem with the Pentecostal move, is that they went along with God as long as the outward experiences and emotions and even spiritual experiences, they went with those things, but they left off the word. They were like a sail that just went sailing off in the wind without the anchor of the scripture. And so we want to find in the Word. We need to know. Our revelation comes from the Word. And so the only way that we can obtain the promises of God is if we know that they're for us, we know what they are, and we know from the Word of God it's revealed to us. Amen? So we want to start here in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. It says, "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen."
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we are so grateful once again, Lord, to be able to come, Lord, to hear your word, Lord. But we're so thankful, Lord, that you've given us ears to hear this morning. You've given us eyes to see. You said, Lord, that your people in this age, they would be anointed with an eagle anointing, and that they would be a prophetic class of people. And what that means is that we can hear you, Lord. We can receive revelation. We can receive from you a spiritual understanding of your word, Lord, and we can see ourselves in the volume of the book. We can see ourselves in your word. I pray, Lord, that this morning you would reveal that to us in a mighty way, Father, in a greater way, Lord, that your word would come and just bring that overflowing of revelation, Lord, that would drive away every doubt, Lord, that it drives away every fear. It shores up the armor of the Spirit, Lord. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, there's no weakness there because we know where we stand in the Word of God. I pray that you would just bless your Word this morning. Help us, Father. Lord, that you would be the divine interpreter, Lord, that you would be the one that speaks to every heart, Lord, including mine. Lord, I need you more than ever today, Lord. I want to draw closer to you, Lord. I want to walk, Lord, closer with you, Father. Won't you grant it today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Amen. I have to remember to turn the notifications off on this thing or it'll keep bugging me on my iPad here. Amen. So, Because He Promised is the title that I want to use today. And the reason that I chose that is because what we're going to talk about is covenants. And God's covenants with us, with mankind. Amen? And a covenant is nothing more than a promise. Amen? It's a contract. And when you enter into a contract, there's always at least two parties in the contract. And, if we think about an earthly contract, an earthly covenant, sometimes there's a witness, there'll be maybe a notary that you're actually who you say you are and you sign, and there are terms to the contract. This party agrees to do X, Y, Z. This party agrees to do A, B, C, right? And they both bring whatever their parts are to the contract. And they both sign and say, I will uphold my part. I will uphold my part. I swear, And if I fail to uphold my part, then this contract is null and void. And, the other party doesn't have to hold up theirs if I don't hold up mine. Right, that's how a contract works. If it's a contract to buy something, I'm paying a certain amount of money and you're giving me the goods or whatever it is. If I fail to give you the money, then you don't have to give me the goods, right? That's the contract. If you fail to give me what I paid for, then you have to give me my money back, right? So contracts work that way. We understand how they work in the natural. In the Bible, there are several covenants that God, that we have identified in the scripture through the ages. There's the covenant in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, right? Where God said, as long as you don't eat and don't partake, you know, he gave them his word and said, don't cross this line. And as long as you don't, you're fine. But if you do, this is what will happen to you. Right. And Noah, there was a covenant there. In fact, after the flood, God gave a covenant to all mankind through Noah. Right. Where he put the bow and the rainbow in the sky. And he said, look, I promise I will never destroy the world with water again. And that was a covenant that God made. And then he made a covenant with Abraham. He made several promises to Abraham, but then he made a covenant with him that was sealed by a sacrifice, right? And then the sign of circumcision. And so he gave Abraham a covenant and many promises that we still enjoy today as Abraham's spiritual seed, right? And Abraham's covenant was a covenant of grace. There was no part for Abraham to do. It was God said, I will do this. Amen. And then the next covenant that came along was the law. And Moses giving as the lawgiver, he gave the law as, okay, if you will do this, God will do this. Right? Depending on your action, then this will be the result, right? So that Mosaic law was, it was really a two-sided contract, right? It laid out what God expected of his people and what God's law said how they should live. And it promised righteousness if they lived the law. Right? And if they broke the law, it promised judgment. Right? And so there was two sides. If man does this, God does this. Right? Two sides to that contract. Now, Abraham's contract came before the law. Amen? Abraham was before Moses. God gave that one-sided contract where he made a promise to Abraham that in your seed shall all the world be blessed. You know, whoever blesses you, I'll bless. Whoever curses you, I'll curse, right? It was an unconditional one-sided contract, and it was based on election, right? It was based on, remember, Abraham was just an idol worshiper, right? And God came to Abraham. Amen. That's the beauty of election. Is God came to Abraham. He found him. Amen. He found Abraham and he said, Abraham, I've got a deal for you. Amen. Let's make a deal. Oh, man. Many of you probably don't remember. I'm ashamed that I remember that TV show. I don't even remember. Was that in the 80s or something? Let's make a deal. Right, Abraham? Let's make a deal. And Abraham's, let's make a deal, God. And God says, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to bless you. And man, what a deal. Abraham didn't have to do anything except say, yes, Lord, I believe. Amen. And the Bible says that because he believed, because he had faith, amen, it was imputed to him for righteousness. It was counted to him for righteousness. Amen. He received the deal, the promise, the covenant. The Bible says of Sarah, because she judged him faithful who promised. Right. Amen. So that covenant continues unto this day because it's to Abraham and his seed. Now you talk about election. Yes. Amen. Amen. That promise was made to his seed, physical and to his spiritual seed, before they were ever born. Amen? So that promise is still in effect today. And then the law comes along, and Brother Branham said Israel wanted something to do, right? They wanted a part. They refused grace and they took the law. And so the law dictated what they had to do to uphold their part of the bargain. Amen? But then we know that Christ came with the final covenant, and that was the covenant of grace. Amen? And that, thank God, is the covenant that we are under today, if we have accepted the terms and signed the contract. Amen. Amen. So we want to speak about these a little bit in some detail today. And as I mentioned, I do have several statements and things that I want to read to you. So just speaking about the covenant with Israel, there's a certain point that I want to really focus in on as we kind of get started into this subject today. This covenant that God had made with Israel in the wilderness, that is what set them apart. Amen. Right? And Abraham too, it's what called him out. Right? And it's what set Israel apart. It made them different from the nations, because they were a chosen people. Amen? Even though the Bible says it was a faulty covenant. Amen? In faulty in that no man could live it. God knows that, right? It relied on man doing a part of it. It was based on performance. Yet even in that covenant of the law was still powerful. Amen? It still had power. And it was attended to by his very presence. Now, in the Bible, there's a term that the scripture uses called the angel of the covenant, right? And maybe you've heard that. Angel means messenger, right? And a covenant of God is attended to by the angel of the covenant. Amen? Amen. Now, this simply means that it's the one that's present, right, doing his part of the contract. Because God doesn't just make a covenant and then just disappear. He stays on the scene to make good on that covenant. Amen? And he does that through the angel of the covenant. All right? Now, this angel of the covenant with Israel was the pillar of fire. Amen. Brother Branham said that was the Logos of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Amen. That was the Word is Logos. Amen. God forming himself into his creation, becoming visible in a pillar of fire with Israel. That is the Son of God. The Father is the God invisible. The Son is God in his creation. Amen. So the Son of God, Christ, in the form of a pillar of fire, in their midst, was the angel of the covenant. He was the one that was present to uphold his part of the covenant as a witness. Amen? The pillar of fire. So, now this is important because we're going to connect this later on. Amen? But that's how they knew that their covenant remained with God. That's how they knew it was in effect. Because the pillar of fire was there. Amen? The other nations could duplicate or imitate any other part of their worship. Including having a prophet. Amen? They worship, they could make altars and do all the same worship and follow all the same rules. They went and hired their own prophet because they saw Israel had a prophet. But they couldn't duplicate the angel of the covenant because the covenant wasn't to them. They were not the people of the promise. And the presence of the pillar of fire, amen, the Son of God, in their midst was proof that they were the people of the promise. They were the ones that God had made the promise to. Amen. And it was visible. It was on display. Amen. When they were walking in the wilderness and wondering, is God with us? Well, all they had to do was look. And they knew they had that visible manifestation that, yes, we are still under His promise. Amen. Hallelujah. So that Son of God, that was the pillar of fire. Now we know that Jesus came, so Christ was the Son of God. He became the Son of Man. Amen. When He took on flesh. And then later He becomes the Son of David as He sits on the throne in the millennium. But Jesus said something in the scripture. He said, I came from God and I go to God. Right. Amen. Amen. And what He was speaking about was that pillar of fire as the Son of God, that spiritual being. Right? He said, I was like that. Now I'm here in flesh with you, but I'm going back to that. Now that's going to be important for us later on. Amen? But He was first the pillar of fire, then He took on a tabernacle of flesh, and then He becomes the pillar of fire again. In fact, that's what Saul saw on the road to Damascus. Amen. Amen. Was the Son of God in the pillar of fire. Amen. You're still with me this morning.
Amen.
Because remember, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Well, that was the same thing that the pillar of fire said to Moses in the burning bush.
Amen.
He said, who are you? He says, I am that I am.
Amen.
Paul said, who are you, Lord?
Right.
Amen. And He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And Brother Branham said that he would never have called that Lord, a man trained in the scripture the way Saul was. He knew that he was meeting that same pillar of fire that Moses spoke to in the burning bush. Amen. So he said, I am that I am. That was God. Amen. He was the messenger or the angel of the covenant, the angel of His promise.
Amen.
He was present to fulfill His part. Amen.
Amen.
Even though it was 50-50 in the wilderness, He was there. All right, on the wings of a snow white dove, He says, speaking of Abraham, he believed in the Lord and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur, out of the Chaldeans, to give thee a land to inherit it. And he said unto him, Lord, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit? Now listen to this. He said unto him, take a heifer 3 years old, a she-goat of 3 years old, watch the threes now, 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, a turtle dove and a pigeon. And see, it was used in a sacrifice that he was foreshadowing Jesus. Now this is God making a covenant with Abraham. He says the covenant was made, and you know he cleaved them apart. He chopped them right down the middle, right? And in old times, when they made a covenant, they would take and write the agreement up and kill an animal and stand between it and tear the covenant in two. So they would make a sacrifice that would be the proof of the covenant they were making. They would cut them in two and they would stand between them. Amen. Kill an animal, stand in between it, tear the covenant in two. One person took one part. He says, like the Chinese laundry used to do. He said a Chinaman couldn't write English, so he wrote on there and tore a piece of paper and handed you a part. And the Chinese laundries, he says, remember the Chinese laundries when they used to do that? And your two ends had to compare to get your clothes. So they each had a part of the covenant, right? So you couldn't fool him because he had the other end of it. You might recopy your name, but you can't re-tear that paper, see? So it had to be the exact same piece of paper. And that's the way it's done in Oriental days. Long ago in the Eastern days, they kill an animal, They'd stand between it, tear the piece of goat skin apart. One took one, and then the covenant was confirmed, and they brought the pieces together, and they had to dovetail just exactly. So what he's speaking about is Abraham making the covenant with God, right? And that there's two parts to the covenant. Now, in Abraham's case, he put Abraham to sleep, and God walked up and down in the midst of that sacrifice. Amen? Showing that, yes, this is a covenant between two. There's one on each side. There's two parties. But this is an unconditional covenant. Amen? There's nothing for Abraham to do. Amen. I like the balance of that. Amen. It's all on God. It was God saying, I will do this. I promise I will do this. Yeah, Abraham, your name is still on the dotted line. You still have a part, right? In our day, what they do is make multiple copies, right? Everybody signs and you get a copy and you get a copy and maybe the bank gets a copy or somebody, right? But everybody has a copy. In this case, they got half an animal, right? But that was the proof that they had made that covenant. And God, by his presence, comes down and affirms this unconditional covenant with Abraham. Amen. That's what makes the difference, is his presence. Now that is foretelling of our great covenant. Amen. That we are the people of promise. Hallelujah. Amen. That by the presence of the pillar of fire, amen, we know that we have a promise from God. Amen. Let's read Galatians chapter 3, verse 15. He says, brethren, now I want to read this to you out of the King James here as we usually do, and then maybe we're going to read it also from a different version. He says, beloved, or brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Now, we have four verses here in Galatians chapter 3, and I want you to really focus in. Brother Brown would say, put your spiritual thinking caps on, right? And try and really understand what's being said here. Verse 15, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For the inheritance be of the law. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Okay, so I don't know about you, but that language is very confusing to me. I'm not ashamed to say it, right? King James English is not what we use normally, right? And there's a lot of times in the King James it turns things around, right? It reverses order on things, and it's a little difficult to follow. So I want to read that to you in the Amplified version. I like the Amplified just because it follows the same language as the King James, but it puts more definition to it so that you can understand what's being said better. Is that okay? Yes. All right, verse 15. So this is the same scripture. Brothers and sisters, I speak in terms of human relations. Even though a last will and testament is just a human covenant, yet when it has been signed and made legally binding, no one sets it aside or adds to it, modifying it in some way. Amen. That's what it said in verse 15, right? That though it be a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Doesn't change, right? Just a man's covenant. He says, now, the promises in the covenants were decreed to Abraham and to his seed. God does not say, and to seeds, descendants, heirs, as if referring to many persons, but as to one, and to your seed, who is none other than Christ. Now, we say we are the spiritual seed because we are in Christ. Amen? And we read about that in other parts in the scripture. He says, this is what I mean. The law, which came into existence 430 years later, after the covenant concerning the coming Messiah, does not and cannot invalidate the covenant previously established by God so as to abolish the promise. For if the inheritance of what was promised is based on observing the law, as these false teachers claim, it is no longer based on a promise. However, God granted it to Abraham as a gift by virtue of his promise. Amen. So what he's speaking about is those that are trying to keep Christians under the covenant of the law. And he's saying, look, Abraham's covenant predated the law, speaking of Christ to come, and it was an unconditional covenant. Amen? The law came as our schoolmaster to show us what God's law was, and to show us that none of us could live the law. To show us that we were all sinners, that we were born in sin. Amen? And that there was, no matter how hard we tried, we still needed an atonement. Amen? Amen? And so he's saying, but just because that law came in between, it doesn't disannul that first covenant. That first covenant of grace to Abraham still stands. And it still bridges over to Christ, who would be the seed, amen, of Abraham, and those that are in Christ. When God makes a covenant, he doesn't disannul it. He doesn't break it. Amen. He says, even a natural man, once you make a covenant, once it's settled, you don't break that covenant. Our God is honorable. He doesn't break his promises. Hallelujah. He doesn't change his word for anyone. When he makes a promise to you, it's good forever. Amen. You say, well, what about the law? Didn't Christ come and do away with the law? No, he fulfilled the covenant of the law. Amen. He never disannuls his covenants. Amen? So Israel, they couldn't keep the law. No man that was born in sin could completely keep the law, no matter how hard they tried. Amen? And God said, I will make a new covenant. And as we move from covenant to covenant, we see God, his plan of redemption more fully, more on display. He's bringing us up to this final covenant. Amen. The one of grace, the one that God had in his mind from before the foundation of the world. Because the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Amen. When you were predestinated in God, think about your predestination this morning. Amen. Your name was predestinated in God's mind. Your name was in the book. Yes. Right? And you were going to come forth, and originally you would have come forth without sin. Right? You would have come forth as part of mankind like Adam without sin, but then the fall came. Well, you're still coming forth. Yes. You're predestinated to come forth. Amen. And so God in his mind had already made a way for that seed that was in his, every name that's on that book to come forth. Amen. Amen. And to be completely restored and redeemed. Amen. Hallelujah. The fulfillment of that law. So Christ is the angel of the new covenant. Amen. He was the pillar of fire in the wilderness. He was the angel of that covenant. And the Son of God came, and he is now the angel of this new covenant. The messenger of the covenant. The one that is here to assure that this covenant is not broken. The one that's on the scene. Amen. Malachi 3:1. Or did I have Hebrews? I have Hebrews. Let's read that one. Hebrews 8 6 says, "But now he hath obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much more also he is the mediator of a better covenant." Amen. He was still the pillar of fire in the Old Testament, but now he's the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Amen. And brother, sister, let me tell you, those promises are not yours to fulfill. Right? In other words, you didn't make those promises. The better promises that he's speaking about are promises that God has made to you. Oh, hallelujah. I'm thankful for that this morning. Amen. That'll make a believer shout. Amen. Amen. You say, "Well, I promised God that I will." Well, that's nice, but that's not what your covenant is based on. Your covenant is based on his promises. He says, "For if that first covenant had been faultless," speaking of the law, "then should no place had been sought for the second." You know, we wouldn't have needed another one, right? "For finding fault with them," he saith, "behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant." So, in other words, when they failed to keep that law, when finding fault, right, he promised, he foreshadowed, he told them, he gave them hope. "Don't worry, I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days." So he's quoting prophecy. Amen. "I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." Amen. That's God making unconditional promises. Amen. As those men and women under the burden of the law doing their best yet failing, God is saying, "Don't worry, there's a covenant coming." Amen. And those in the old that looked forward to that new covenant, amen, they were the ones waiting that he, when he went down to hell, he took them with him. Amen. Amen. But there's a promise to those that would come later, and we are part of that. Amen. Amen. That we are part of this new covenant. Hebrews chapter 12, he says, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever..." Forever. Amen. "No, I have to flog myself or do something to atone for my..." No. He made the sacrifice for sins forever. "Sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting until his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, 'This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord.'" And again, he quotes that same prophecy. "I will put my law into their hearts, in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Now, I want you to tell me where in there is the part where it says, "If they will do, if they will, if they..." It's not there. It's God saying, "I will. I will do this, and I am going to do that, and I am making this promise, and I am going to take away their sin, and I am going to make the sacrifice, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more." Amen. This covenant, brother, sister, it's beautiful, but it's all on God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Malachi 3:1, he said, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." Now, he's speaking of John the Baptist, right, who's going to come before Christ. Now, remember, Christ is the Son of God. indwelling in a tabernacle of flesh. The same pillar of fire that was overseeing that covenant, now he's coming for the new covenant. Amen. It says, "And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." Amen. Amen. Old Testament prophet prophesying of the angel of the covenant, Christ, coming to make a new covenant with his people. Amen. That pillar of fire, the fullness of God. Amen. Let's continue. I want to read in a little bit. This is out of the Church Age book, The Revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, let's go back in the Bible and see what he was in the beginning according to the revelation he gave of himself. The great Jehovah appeared to Israel in a pillar of fire. As the angel of the covenant, he lived in that pillar of fire and led Israel daily. At the temple, he announced his coming with a great cloud. Then one day he was manifested in a virgin-born body that was prepared for him. The God that tabernacled above the tents of Israel now took on himself a tent of flesh and tabernacled as a man amongst men, but he was the same God. Amen. Amen. And he came on the scene to make that covenant, right? To make, sign the contract with us. Amen. 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, and believed on in the world, and received up in glory. So Christ came to be the sacrifice that fulfilled the law, completely fulfilled man's part of the law covenant. Right? Fulfilled it forever, right? That whole ledger, that whole debt for every single one was paid in full. That whole contract was fulfilled and wrapped up. Amen? And it, with the new contract, he came to make the new covenant just like he did with Abraham, where it was according to election. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Where he would come and search out. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. He would find his elect seed. Yeah. And he would search out and he would go to the idol worshipers. Amen. And the worldly people. Those that were buried in sin. Right. Those that were bound. Amen. Those that they didn't look anything like godly. Amen. Amen. And he would find those and he would bring them out by election and he would, by grace, make a contract with them. Amen. Amen. He would give them and present to them, here's my terms, the terms of my contract. If you will but accept this contract and receive my spirit, amen, then you will be bound by this covenant forever. And you said, yes, Lord, where do I sign? What's my part? All you have to do is sign. All you have to do is surrender. All you have to do is enter into the contract. Okay, well then, I've entered into the contract. Now, what's my part? Well, did you read the terms of the contract? You see, this is your side and this is God's side. And your side, you've signed, but there's nothing for you to do. Amen. All this is, Lord, is a whole list of your promises. Yeah, that's the contract. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, brother, sister, but that's when I read this Bible, that's what I see. I see promise after promise after promise. God said, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Amen. What is my part? Receive it. Accept it. Believe it's for you. Because you have to receive it. But there's nothing to do for you to do in the contract other than receive it. Amen. How do I know? Well, the pillar of fire. How do I know I'm under the contract? The pillar of fire. The angel of the covenant is here to make good on every part of it. Oh, hallelujah. His presence. Amen. To keep his part. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Let's continue out of that same, the church age book here, Revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, now, we've been talking about the offices and manifestations of the one true God. And beholding his glory in a scriptural study. But he is not to be known intellectually. He is known spiritually, by spiritual revelation. This same one who was known as Jesus, after the flesh, went back to the pillar of fire. That's why we can't know him intellectually, and that's why we don't know him after the flesh. Right? He says, but he promised he would come again and dwell amongst his people by the Spirit. Just like the pillar of fire leading Israel, the pillar of fire is leading us. He says, and on the day of Pentecost, that pillar of fire came down and separated itself in tongues of fire upon each one of them. What was God doing? He was separating himself into the church, giving all those men and women a part of himself. Amen. He divided himself amongst his church just as he said he would. John 14, 16 through 23 says, I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while the world seeth me no more, but you shall see me, because I live, you shall live also. Amen. I mean, I didn't see anything in there that was, you need to do this, so I will do this. Right? It was, I will. I will not leave you. I will come to you. I will not leave you comfortless. Amen? Because I live, you will live. In that day you shall know that I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. And he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, it is he that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Ah, we found it. He that keepeth hath my commandments and keepeth them. There it is. There's my part to do. I found the works. So as long as I keep the commandments, the contract is intact, right? No. As long as he keeps the commandments in you. That's the difference, right? He just talked about how he's in there. He's in you doing the work, right? Amen. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, it is he that loveth me. Brother Branham said that if you love, I think we read that Wednesday night. He said that if you love God, he said that will create faith in you, right? It's the love that does the work. Amen. He it is that loveth me, he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said, if If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So, do you see what he just said there? If a man love me, he will. He will keep my words. So the if is not as if you will keep the commandments, I will love you and keep my promises. It's if a man love me, he's going to. Right? Brother Branham said that, he was talking about election and he was talking about predestination. And he said, you have nothing to do with it. Right? And then he said, well, you're saying, well, does that mean I can just live any old way I want to? Does that mean I can just do whatever I want to? And he said, yes, I do whatever I want to. But because I've been born again, because the love of God has changed me, then I do obey.
Amen.
Amen. And we've been it over it many, many times, right? We understand that there's a flesh part and that there's a soul part. Amen. We don't need to go into all of that this morning. But the soul does not sin. The flesh falls and, you know, we have to repent and do all of those things. But the soul part is the part that's in the covenant, not the flesh. Amen. The soul part is the part that's been born again. The soul part is the part that's received the quickening by the Holy Ghost. That Holy Ghost is your part. That's the part that was torn off, that was given to you. That's your copy of the contract. Amen? So he says, if a man love me, and the only way that you can love him is by the Holy Spirit, right? If a man love me, he says, he will keep my words. Amen? Because he lives in him. He says, my Father will love him. We will come unto him, make our abode with him. He said that he would pray the Father, who would send another comforter, who was with them, the disciples, already, but not in them. That was Christ. Then in verse 23, speaking of himself and the Father, he said, we will come. There it is. He says, the Spirit is coming. The same Spirit of God that manifested as the Father and as the Son and will yet manifest in the many, one God who is Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. And we are part of the many.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. This is out of questions and answers. Now, questions and answers, this is 1964. He said, when a man was made in the image of God, and then God came down in the image of man to redeem man, that brought man and God together. Heaven and earth hugged and kissed each other.
Amen.
Amen. God and man embraced each other as fatherhood and sonship when the Logos became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus said, I came from God and I go to God. Is that right? After his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, when the body was taken up to set at the right hand of God. Now, I don't mean God's right hand. God's a spirit. But at the right hand means power and authority of God. That in that name, everything in heaven that's named after it and subject to it. Everything in earth is named after it, and subject to it. A name above all names, Jesus Christ. Now, this Logos that was in him, which was the Spirit of God, the anointing through the sanctifying grace of the blood brought many sons to God, which is anointed with this same Logos. So that's our covenant this morning. Amen. We are, he came, embraced, the Father came and he says God and man embraced, hugged and kissed each other. I like that, right? He says, the fatherhood and the sonship when the Logos became flesh and dwelt among us. The Father moving into creation, which was the Son. And he said that that was the Spirit of God, the anointing that has brought many sons to God. Amen. That's the angel of the covenant, the one that's facilitating that. Amen. That's the Holy Spirit, which is, he said, which is anointed with this same Logos. Now let's continue on. This is his marriage and divorce. He says, remember, our Lord Jesus Christ never did identify himself as Son of God. He said to you said I was to this end, I was born and so forth, but he never identified himself. He said, now that was the pillar of fire that led the children of Israel, the Son of God, right? He says, it was the Lord Jesus Christ in spirit form. Do you believe that? Amen. The Logos that went out of God. Amen. Remember, that was the Word, right? God moving into creation. That was Christ, he said, the Lord Jesus Christ in spirit form. And then when he was on earth, he said, I come from God and I go to God. We all know that. After his death, burial, resurrection, Saul of Tarsus was on the road down to Damascus to persecute the Christians because they were teaching things that were contrary to what they had been taught. And he was a great warrior under Gamaliel, one of the outstanding teachers of the day in their school, their monastery, and a great man and an officer of the church. And it was there that a great light, the pillar of fire, again struck him down in the middle of the day. And a voice said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now, if you notice, when Paul, Saul, raised up, he said, Lord, who are you? Now, that boy being a Jew, he certainly wouldn't have called anything unless it had been something to symbol God. He wouldn't have called it Lord. So it was the same pillar of fire. Amen. Amen. As Jesus said, I go to God, I came back from God, and I return to God. There he was, back in the form of a pillar of fire again. Amen. He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, and it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And we realize that when the apostle Peter, to who the keys was given to build the church, we find out that when he was in prison, the same pillar of fire came through the bars, opened the doors of the prison, took Peter out mysteriously without even disturbing the guards. To me, it's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then you'll always know anything by the nature of it. Anything is known by its nature, the fruit that it bears. And I ask you to watch the kind of fruit it bears. This light, which is God, because it always goes back to the Word of God and proves the Word of God. It preaches the Word of God, and God proves that Word materially so before you. So there's got to be something behind it. And of course, we know that in his ministry, that pillar of fire was appearing. Right? And it was coming forth, and it was bearing fruit. And we know that even if we don't visibly see the pillar of fire, we know that Christ is among us. Amen. We know his presence by the fruit that's born by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We don't necessarily have to physically see it to know that he's here. In fact, he promised that he would be, and that's good enough, right? Amen. So Jesus, the Son of God, in that form, then going back to that form, now becomes the angel of a covenant again. Okay, John 16, I just wanted to read this. He quoted it several times, but just to show you, this is where it is here in the scripture. John 16, 27, 28, he says, For the Father loveth, Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am coming to the world. Again, I leave the world and I go to the Father. Amen. So that's him changing that form. Amen. Back again as the pillar of fire in the church. This is from the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I come from God and I go back to God. That's the scripture we just read. He says, that is exactly what happened. He disappeared from the earth by way of his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. Then Paul met him on the road to Damascus, and he spoke to Paul and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Paul said, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus. And he was a pillar of fire, a blinding light. He had turned back, exactly as he said he would, back to the same form he was before he took on a tabernacle of flesh. That is exactly how John saw it. John 1:18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Notice where John says that Jesus is. He is in the bosom of the Father. Amen. So that now that pillar of fire, the Logos of God, is what is leading us. Amen. That is what is leading the church of God. Amen. He is the angel of the covenant of grace. The angel of the covenant of election. Amen. And he is upholding that covenant. And we must labor to enter into that rest. Amen. Right? Isn't that what the Bible says? There yet remaineth a rest, but you must labor to enter into that rest. And once you've entered into that rest, then he's the one that's upholding it. Amen. Amen? His presence in the church proves that they are the people of the promise. Amen. I just have a few more statements. Is that all right? I know I told you I had a lot to read. There's a couple of long ones in here, so if you just bear with me. But I just I want to make sure that we say it the way he says it. Amen? Yeah. Marriage and divorce. He says, I was called when I was just a little boy. And this was a visible, audible sign that was given to me. A pillar of fire hanging in a bush at 7 years old right here on the Utica Pike. My father was working for Mr. O.H. Wathen, that just recently died. And you've read the book. You know the story. And from that time, down on the river, then it appeared visibly before the people. And it's had its picture taken many times. And it hangs in the Washington, D.C. as a copyright in the Religious Hall of Art as the only supernatural being that was ever scientifically proven to be photographed. Same pillar of fire. Brother, sister, this message is vindicated. Amen. Amen. We do not have to be ashamed of what God has done. Amen. We should hold on to this because this is God coming once again. Amen. Amen. To prove he's the same pillar of fire that led them in the wilderness. Same one appearing in our day to vindicate and to show us, hey, this is my promise to you. This is my covenant. Walk in this. Amen. He said, same pillar of fire, exactly the same look in every way that brought Israel out of Egypt. Amen. So we've seen pictures of it. Amen. Or a picture of it anyway. Picture taken many times. I guess there are several, right? There's not just the one in Dallas. There's a number. He says, I believe it's Jesus Christ in spiritual form, in spirit form, in the sonship of God. For he was called Son of Man when he come first, and now he's called Son of God. In the millennium he will be Son of David. He come Son of Man, a prophet, as was spoke of him. Now he's Son of God in supernatural, right? That's the pillar of fire. In the great millennium that is to come, he will be Son of David, sitting on the throne of David. As all Bible readers know, that's a divine promise with God to David that he would raise up his son to sit on his throne. Amen. So, same pillar of fire is with us.
Amen.
That pillar of fire didn't leave when Brother Branham left the scene. Amen. In fact, in another place, I don't have that quote here with me, but He said all of those messengers down through the church ages, they were messengers of that same covenant, that same pillar of fire. I am going to read you one where he's that same Son of God is the one in Revelation 1, standing in the midst of all the churches. As long as there's a church age and he's dealing with the church, the pillar of fire is here.
Amen.
As the angel of the covenant. Amen. Amen. The first seal. He says, let me read this again. It sounds so good to me, I like to read it. I saw another mighty angel. He's reading Revelation 10. Right? I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud and a rainbow on his head, and his face was the sun, and his feet as pillar of fire. And now we saw the same thing, which was Christ. We know Christ is always the messenger to the church.
Amen.
All right? He is called a pillar of fire, the angel of the covenant, and so forth.
Right.
And he had in his hand a little book. Amen. And we know the rest there. He says, now the seals would have done been broke here. Speaking about when that angel comes down, right? We are breaking them now, but in this, the thing is opened, right? Think about that, right? What he was doing was fulfilling what was in that scripture, right? And he set his right foot on the sea and left foot on the earth, and he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth, and when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. He says, my, the complete, and when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write what they said, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which they uttered and write them not. So this, the one that brought the open book is the angel of the covenant.
Amen.
Amen. Now that's important. We know that people get these mixed up. They put Brother Branham in these places, right? But he says that's the pillar of fire, the angel of the covenant. There's only one who's the angel of our covenant. Amen? All right, and then questions and answers. I think this is the last one. Yes, this is the last one. So questions and answers. I believe in this question. I didn't actually have the question in here, but I believe they asked him whether he was, Brother Branham, are you the Son of Man? I believe that was the question. He said, now, after his death, burial, and ascension and coming of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, Paul on his road, which was Saul, to Damascus, he was struck down by a pillar of fire, the Logos. And that Jew would have never called that pillar of fire Lord unless he knew it was the same Logos that his people followed through the wilderness. Now, that was not the Son of Man. That was the Logos. Now, we say this with reverence and love and respect, see, as Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, and also that in the last days, as it was before Lot's time or in Lot's time in Sodom, so shall it be in the day when the Son of Man reveals himself again, revealing himself. Now, in this last days, the Logos that was upon Jesus, which he has become from that back to the pillar of fire again, right? We've been over that, right? And has descended down to earth to, I was going to say something, but I watched the tape. They wouldn't believe it if you told them. It wouldn't make any difference. People wouldn't believe it, but I'll admit that. But has come down. That's quite a little parenthetical right there, right? But he says, but has come down for like an investigating judgment goes on. Now, this great pillar of fire that's absolutely identified, even by scientific cameras, that's here on the earth today, and there's a picture hanging there. I believe it's still there, isn't that right? That's scientifically proven by the best we got. George J. Lacey, the head of the FBI, fingerprints and documents, said, I called it psychology myself, Reverend Branham, but the light struck the lens. I put it under ultra-ray lights and had an examination here for 4 or 5 days, and the light struck the lens. Now, I was thinking here the other day, God just does everything so perfectly. Because this couldn't have been done today. Because everybody's taking pictures with phones and digital. Right? And digital photographs, I mean, it's easy to alter them. You just put in the computer, change a few bits, and man, it's no problem, right? But because that photo was taken in that exact, they had photography, but they hadn't moved to digital yet. They had a physical evidence, right? They could examine actual film, and the chemical changes in the film had to occur by light striking it. So there was actually something they could physically examine. God is perfect. Amen. Amen. And we wonder, does he know about me? Does he know? He knows my name and where I'm at, and he knows every detail of my life. Yes, he's got it all. He's got it all figured out. Amen. He says that lens won't take psychology. He says, now watch. Watch the works of it. It among us proves the same Jesus. Now, that pillar of fire is what he's speaking about, right? That being among us proves that the same Jesus that once lived in Palestine, the same spirit that was upon him, has come up through a body until it's come back to headship again, which he's coming soon to claim the body. Amen? Amen. The head coming to the body. You get it? That will be the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of David, the I Am, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the Morning Star. He says, I am not he. Remember, that was the question. Are you the Son of Man? I am not he. Thank you. Amen. I'm so thankful that he was honest and knew his place. I am not he. I am his servant. And the pillar of fire is not he. Speaking Son of Man. The pillar of fire is Son of God, right? He says, it's in spirit form, see, which was upon the Son of Man, and has come now to anoint sons, plural, not just one, not just a messenger, sons of men, hallelujah, to bring back a ministry just exactly like he said it would be, in order for the head and the rest of the body to connect together. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. The two parts of the covenant. Amen. The two parts of the contract. You've got one part. He's got the other part. Amen. And the angel of the covenant, the Son of God. Amen. The Spirit, the anointing. He said that's moving through the body. Moving through the sons of men, in other words, just people, everyday people like you and I, moving through them, amen, to anoint them, to bring them back and connect that body back with the head. He said, just like the pyramid as Enoch built, we find in that pyramid that they never did get the headstone on it. Why? The headstone is yet to come. The seven steps of the pyramid. He says, we'll go through that someday. I just like to show you how it's really perfectly with the scripture. Amen. Through accepting the sacrifice of Christ, receiving the Spirit, baptism of the Spirit, we enter into a covenant with God. Amen. Remember the original union. The original contract, the original covenant was marriage. Amen? That was the first. That was God's first thought, was male and female. Male and female created he them, because he was every part of it and he wanted to have his own wife. Amen? And in the original creation, male and female created he them, and He then separated them out, their bodies, and he said that union would not be separated. What God has joined together, let no one tear asunder. Amen. Amen? It was supposed to, intended to be an everlasting, permanent covenant, right? Because Adam couldn't just go get another Eve. Right? She was bone of his bone. flesh of his flesh. They were tied together physically, right? And so that marriage covenant was supposed to be, it was intended to be eternal. Now, Matt, we know man has perverted it. Sin came and, that thing has been, that's why I believe that it's so under attack in this day, because it was God's original plan. That was his original thought. Amen. But that's the type of covenant that Christ has entered into with his people. It's a permanent one. How can he put away what is part of him? Amen. When Eve fell and Adam willingly, with his eyes wide open, walked into sin with Eve, and they both were condemned to death, God made a promise then. And he said, I'm going to come back. I'm going to return with a covenant. I'm going to bruise that serpent's head. Amen. Amen? I'm going to do what Adam did for his wife. Because she's bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. My original thoughts in the beginning, that elective love that we were talking about Wednesday night. Amen? Because he promised. That means, brother, sister, we will overcome. Amen. Why? Because he promised. Amen. We're finally getting to our subject here this morning. This is the title, right? Because he promised. Why are you an overcomer? Because he promised. Amen. Amen. Because he made a covenant with me. Amen. Why are you different? Because he promised. He made a promise to me. Amen. But you've got to know that you've entered into that covenant with him. You got to know that you know that you know. Amen. You got to make your calling and election sure. And know that your name is on the contract. Amen. But his name is there too. And he's the one that's obligated himself. You know, I remember when I was a young Christian and I would read things like where Brother Branham would say that God is obligated to his word. You know, and it's not that it stumbled me, but it would kind of shake me up, kind of spin my head around a little bit. Right? He's obligated to his word. And it almost makes you afraid to say that God's obligated. Like, I have some power over God that's forcing him to do something. That's kind of what it seems like, right? But it's not like that at all. It's that he's promised. Amen? Amen. He's obligated because he promised. Amen. Man's all, Brother Branham said, man's always tried to do something to save himself. But there's nothing man could do to save himself. He said, God saves you unconditionally. This is the covenant of rest. Amen? Hallelujah. This covenant disannuls your works. Paul said, all my righteousness, I count it as dung. Why? Because he had entered into a new covenant that completely disannulled all of his goodness, his righteousness, his works. Amen. Instead, this covenant is let go and let God. Amen. Amen. Though trials may come, though sufferings come, they come to test the faith. They don't come to test your ability. You know, many times we say, oh, you know, this is coming to make me strong, and we get the idea that it's, you know, this is coming to make me hold on that much. No, it's coming to test your faith. It's coming to test your ability to let go. It's even funny to say it that way, right? Ability. Your ability to let go. It's coming to make you, to cause you to let go. and to trust him more. Is that right?
Amen.
Amen. Brother, sister, you're not going to make a rapture. You're not going to make it through. You're not going to overcome because of your ability to hold on. Because of the strength that you have. His strength is made perfect in your weakness. You're going to make it through. You're going to go in a rapture. You're going to go on to a body change. You're going to hear the voice of the resurrection if you go by the way of the grave. You're going to be at that wedding supper. You're going to rule and reign in the millennium. You're going to live with him in that city forever because he promised it. And for no other reason. The trying of your faith, the Bible says, works patience. That you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Patience to what? To receive what he promised. Amen? To stay with the promise. We're holding on today. We are standing today on this word. We are standing and holding up a standard in this hour because he promised that we would. Amen? That's why we're here. Anything that we have, that's why we have it. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we are so thankful this morning, Lord, for all that you've done for us, Lord. Truly, Lord, it puts us in awe sometimes when we look at what you, the promises that you've made for us, Lord. And we recognize that, Lord, that perfect plan that you've had, you've been executing, Lord, through the ages. You've been moving up to this place. And here we are, right at the very pinnacle of it, right at the very ending of this work of redemption, Lord. Oh God, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to surrender to you. Lord, to allow you, oh God, to have your way in our lives. Lord, to let you have complete control. To lay aside our own thinking, Lord, and our belief, Lord, that we somehow, if we just try harder, we can do a little better, we can somehow grab a hold of a promise. But Lord, we know that it's you. You're the one, Lord, that's made every promise to us. And it's through our weakness that your strength is made perfect. Help us to let go, Lord. Help us to be as little children. When your disciples asked you, who is the greatest in the kingdom? And you said, those that are the great ones, they're the little children. They're the ones that just trust me. They're the ones that just believe me. When I give my word and I make a promise, they just say, okay, Lord, I believe you. I trust you. Lord, I want to be that way today, Lord. Won't you help us, Father? We know time is short, Father. We're just right at the... We're just almost looking over the threshold, looking through the door to... Lord, to that great resurrection morning. Oh, God. What a tremendous work that you're doing in this hour. Help us to not be discouraged, Lord. but just to look at you and your promises that you've made. Lord, to hold on to it with all of our hearts. We thank you, Father. We thank you for your presence among us, Lord. We thank you for the angel of your covenant, the pillar of fire, O God. Coming and making good on every promise in this book. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for proving to us time and time and time and time again that your word is true. How we love you, Lord. We couldn't fulfill the law. We couldn't do it on our own, but Lord, you knew that. You knew what we needed, Lord, and you gave us exactly what we needed. I pray that you bless your people here this morning. Help us, Lord God, just to rely on you in every part of our lives. There will not be one person in that rapture that will have the testimony that says, I did it on my own. It will be grace. Grace. We thank you, Lord, for that. Pray you bless my brothers and sisters today, Lord. Be with them, Father. May this word just penetrate our hearts this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you for your presence, Lord, even now. Lord, even in the softness, Lord, the gentleness of your anointing, Father. We thank you for your presence, Lord. We feel your presence among us this morning. Children, Lord, bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh, your beloved ones, Lord, your part of your beloved bride, your body here on earth, oh God, you're revealing yourself to us, Lord, day by day, trial by trial, test by test, word by word, line by line, oh God, how we thank you for it, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you and honor you, Lord. Great God of eternity, here with us. Thank you, Lord. We just ask that you'd be with each one today in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just worship him this morning. Against us. Amen. Your name is written down and there's nothing accounted to you this morning. Hallelujah. Why? Because he paid the debt. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? Amen. Let's worship him. Maybe we pick it up a little faster. Again.